There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Give it to me. Give it to me.
Hello, everyone. I'm Molly Wood.
Oh, and I'm Tom Merritt.
And it must be Friday because welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where we spend the entire week looking around, peering through our little telescopes, trolling our Twitter feeds, looking at our Instagram ads, and occasionally cheating off the Discord to find out what things are on the cusp of being things, have achieved peak thingness, or might just be our things, if we're being real.
Can I just say, Molly Wood, that the unfortunate times in my life where I was not able to do a podcast with you feel greatly impoverished now that we have continued to start doing this again. This is so much fun.
I mean, I have to say that's how I feel too every Friday. I'm like, oh, yay!
Yay! Yes.
This is the thing time. Yep.
Exactly.
Because Tom is the best.
Ah, Molly's the best.
Yay! All right. You guys are the best. Everyone is the best.
Everyone is the best. And we're drinking sparkling water. So these are real feelings.
I know, guys. This is not manufactured in any way. By the way, Oakland's first non-alcoholic bar is opening.
Oh.
Would you like to road trip up here?
Because
I feel like we need to go on a thing road trip.
Absolutely. Trip. Yeah. If I can fit it in, I have to come up for my sister-in-law's birthday. But then there's always family engagements. So if I can fit it in them, if not, I'll make a special trip. That's we got to do some on the scene reporting.
Yeah. It opened literally last week.
Busy. Where is it?
Dry Bar. I'm looking. I'm actually looking it up right now.
Dry Bar?
Dry Bar.
You know, like the hair blowout place.
And it should not surprise you that it's on Telegraph.
Of course.
The hipster zone between 29th and 30th.
Of course it is. Why did I even wonder if that exactly where it should be?
I mean, nailed it. That's just a nailed it. We nailed that thing.
Yes.
Sober culture.
Okay. Well, let's see if I can nail it again. This is really identifying a wave, not calling one early. 1980s puzzles. It's part of the overall 1980s nostalgia wave that's happening. But there was a big story this week about EA pulling their Tetris apps from the iOS and Android app stores. And then another company ran to the rescue and put Tetris back in. And it's like, really? People care that much about Tetris still to this day? And yet I see people going gaga over Rubik's Cubes still. I feel like that's definitely a thing to be like, yep, those cool 80s games and puzzles. Hello?
Are you still there? Oh,
yes.
Earlier I muted you so that I could sneeze, and then apparently I don't know, and then I did it again because I thought I was going to sneeze. It's like a weird winter allergy situation. Anyway, during the period where I was muted, I was agreeing with you so heartily.
Good, because I was a little worried. Like, I guess that's not as much as I thought.
It was totally like cricket. Hello. Nah, don't think so. No, I could not agree more heartily. And recently there was this episode of Rick and Morty. Do you watch Rick and Morty?
Yes, 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 yes. I forgot about that as supporting evidence.
Of really everything. But did you see the snakes one?
Yes.
And it just, I mean, the details of its 80s recreation were incredible. Mm-hmm. But I want to point out that one of the things I noticed was the lone Rubik's Cube sitting in one of the scenes. And guys, if you have not seen this episode, I literally spent 4 days on New Year's Eve vacation either rewatching that episode with my man friend or making jokes about it or trying to come up with ways to insert into conversation.
Yeah. If you haven't watched it, minor spoiler, the snakes just talk snake language to each other, which is basically
they do, and then they write in Snakeling. I mean, yes. it is freaking genius. But anyway, I just was like, here they have this 80s recreation, and the thing I shouted was, the Rubik's Cube!
Yeah, we went to, what was it? I think it was some kind of fancy schmancy film premiere that my wife got us into, where they had Rubik's Cubes just out for free, like, as a party favor.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And then Tetris, of course, is just, like, beloved.
And I think that's what really set me off is when people got so like, what? Tetris is going away? No. And it kind of goes in with like Friends. It was the same level as Friends leaving Netflix, which wasn't even like Friends going away. It was just leaving Netflix and people were up in arms. This was like, wait, how are we going to play Tetris on our phones?
Oh, man, I'm looking now and I had no idea. Now there's like Tetris Royale goes global as the new one. Best Tetris games for Android in 2020. Yeah, you're totally right. You have nailed it. This is such a good pinpointing of an otherwise ambient thing that I had not even noticed. I love it.
80s yeah, puzzles. This is me with that little telescope that you were talking about earlier. Just like, ahoy, Tetris on the horizon.
I have discovered a digital thing thanks to my child, and I'm excited about it, and I didn't know it had a name. The name is dry texting. I know. Which really conjures like a
lot. Do I want to know?
You can go double entendre, you can go single, you can go quadruple entendre. But what it really refers to is that freaking annoying thing where you're communicating with someone and they just keep writing back like, K, LOL, yes,
nothing. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. It's like when someone is not engaging with your texting, mm-hmm. they're just being too dry, and it is apparently commonly used in dating parlance, and it really is just like you're trying to flirt with someone and you're not getting anything back, and they call it dry texting, and they're just like, it's so frustrating. It's like when you get the one word response.
Sure.
Yeah, there you go. Just like that. I mean, and I was like, oh my God, I'm so glad that this has a name and that you've identified it as a thing. And I was delighted that my child has now decided he's annoyed by it because he used to do that crap to me all the time.
Oh, that's how it's so fun to watch them grow and learn.
Exactly. I was like, yeah, you do that. And he's like, what? I am not a dry texter. And I was like, yeah, you definitely do.
You were before it was cool.
LOL, okay.
Yeah. I definitely catch on to this very quickly and just stop, like, all right, fine, I guess you're busy. So
yeah,
but it's because people don't want to be rude and not reply, because which is a weird thing. Like, usually when you don't reply, you assume like, oh, they're not there,
right?
They're not looking at their phone, they're pulled away. But if you on the other end know you are there, then there's a little guilt and you're like, well, I should at least reply. And then you dry text. That's how it happens.
And or you want them to know that you're there and you're mad at them.
Oh, yeah. A little passive aggressive.
Like, I think I've been guilty of this. I've been totally guilty of being like, sure.
Sure. IDK.
Okay. IDK. Maybe.
Whatever. Yeah.
It is. I mean, I found it on Quora.
If you put an emoji in, is that... Does that, I almost said moisten the text, which is horrible. Does that qualify as a dry text?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm throwing up.
Yeah. Likewise.
I mean, I guess it depends on the emoji. Like if you just put in the flat smiley. That is the emoji.
That's intentional. Yeah.
That's intentional. That's just like, no.
That would be an exception. I think an emoji kind of pulls you out of dry text because it says, oh, I'm thinking enough to give an emotion. Emojis feel like emotional responses. Right. Whereas the whole point of dry text is there's no emotion here.
There's no emotion.
Yeah.
And also when it includes K, which I think we've already had this conversation, means I hate you. The single K. I mean, it's a real, it can be brutal. Dry texting can be brutal.
Yeah. K's are dangerous.
Yeah. No, you that's could, bad.
Because 1K, rude. 2Ks, I'm a gamer. Right? Because KK is gamer text for okay.
It is, but I feel like we've all adopted KK as the nicer, the kinder, gentler K.
But you add one more K and suddenly you're in a whole lot of trouble.
Oh, yeah. Disaster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a knife's edge you're on.
No, and my son and I actually have a whole ongoing joke where we just put like 7 or 8 Ks.
Just to be safe.
I had to have this conversation with the man friend and Kai Rizdal. Because both of them were just out here using K, not even understanding the damage that they were causing. And it was like, listen, that means I hate you. And they were both like, what? It means okay. And I'm like, no, it doesn't. You have to say KK.
Yeah.
Or, and then, of course, they have to say, like, KKK is not right. Blah, 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 blah. And so now we all just use, like, 10.
17 Ks is the only answer to all of this. But, yeah, no, the whole dry texting thing. Mm-hmm. I like that as a name. I like that as a name. It's a good name, too. I mean, it's a little weird. I'll get used to it, but it is appropriate somehow.
They also have all sort of started to use dry as shorthand for rude and unfriendly. So there's like something related to dry.
Oh, man, really? Because I love dry humor.
I know. That's
I hate for that to now suddenly mean, now I know how my grandma felt about gay.
Yeah, totally. It's like,
I mean, and not in a way that was anti-gay, but sort of like, but I want to use it to mean this. It doesn't. You know, it wasn't about gay people. It was about, but I can't use this. People think I mean something else now.
Right. The word is gone now.
Yeah,
exactly. And we just had to.
Is that going to happen to dry humor?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, dry humor is, it sort of is a reasonable offshoot because dry humor is understated. You know, it's a little.
I don't want dry humor to mean rude humor, though.
No. Hmm. I don't know. It's morphing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Got to keep watch on that stuff.
Language is fungible.
Because that's when you get yourself in trouble, when you say the thing that it used to mean and everyone thinks you mean the other thing.
Exactly. What I love about what's about to happen is that your next thing is about language. Oh, my God.
Because my next thing is not a thing.
I'm so glad that we're doing this because it is not a thing.
Double negatives, my friends, right in there with dry.
They really are.
In fact, our mutual friend Veronica Belmont said that she has been encouraged by friends and family to stop saying it's not XYZ. Which is, I think, a sign that something has reached peak thing, right? When people are like, just stop, will you stop saying that?
Oh, that's really funny. I mean, it is very prevalent in a certain millennial age group. I have certainly adopted it and found myself.
I mean, it's not prevalent.
It's not prevalent. It's not a huge thing.
It's a way of moderating our tendency to over exaggerate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you say like Tetris is great, people are like, well, come on. I mean, how great is it really? But if you say Tetris, it's not great, people are like, right. Well, okay, you're not overdoing it. You're moderating.
It's like it's a less confrontational way to say no. Like, I'm not into it. And ironically, what you really mean is no.
So but you don't want to come out against it, right?
You don't want to come out against it.
I don't want to have to defend my position. Is kind of what this says.
Exactly. I'm not into it, by which I mean I'm not into it. But I just threw another knot in there so that I don't have to shoot you down.
I'm not into apples, but I don't want any apples.
A vague disclaimer is no one's friend.
It's not a vague disclaimer.
Quoth Willow. Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It's not a vague disclaimer. I'm telling you, though, I find myself using it all the time. All the time. So it's a thing.
It's not popular.
It's not about to end.
No, it's not. Save us.
It's actually kind of the same thing as dry texting. Like, I'm not willing to take a stand or stop this conversation.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It comes from a very similar place. You're not wrong.
And then sometimes you are really into it. And so then you're sort of saying it in a funny way to mean you're really into it. It's very confusing.
Yeah. If someone's like, come on, you don't like Lil Nas X. You're like, well, I don't not like him.
Yeah. Or like, be honest, Henry Cavill is the hottest thing you have ever seen as The Witcher.
That's He's not hot.
Yeah. And then you're like, that's not true.
Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna toss a coin to my Witcher.
Definitely gonna toss a coin to that Witcher. Oh, Valley!
Which, by the way, is now available on iTunes. or whatever, Apple Music. Yeah.
Wondering that yesterday.
The album just came out.
Because that song is a thing among it's a not, small not a thing. And wonderful population. Oh my God. Okay. Also a thing. This is a shopping thing. I've already bought it though. Don't worry.
So you will not be spending money during this show yet.
I will not be spending money during the show that I know of, unless I decide to order like a classic Rubik's Cube on eBay. I was looking around my house the other day and I was like, oh my God, look at my Instant Pot, cowhide rug, and Timberland.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Museum of Modern Things.
I mean, I am about as basic as it gets. Like, as soon as it becomes a thing, I'm like, I want to buy it. I don't know why. It's like in the zeitgeist. Anyway, custom AirPod cases.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Right? Are you not seeing these everywhere? Are you not seeing these everywhere?
I am not seeing them. Yeah. Every day when I go through my RSS feeds for work, there are at least two articles about get these custom AirPod cases for sometimes deal.
Yeah, for sometimes deal. Is amazing. I sincerely did not know this until the holiday season when I was at Urban Outfitters with my son and he was like, I want these. And then I'm like, wait, these are a thing? And then we just looked at a million of them online. I had no idea that someone had figured out how to like put a case over top of the AirPods case. But they're everywhere and they're super cool.
It's putting a hat on a hat. It really is.
It is really putting a hat on a hat. But, you know, you just have this boring white thing. Like, I guess it was only a matter of time before they got cooler.
It's yeah. Now that you're saying it like this, it's the same thing as getting a case for your iPhone, right?
Totally.
Because it's this weird thing where Apple makes a big deal about how amazing its design is and how beautiful its phone is and then asks you to cover it up.
Right. And all it really is generic. But near as I can tell, and I do think that this is interesting, I don't believe Apple. I mean, I guess they don't make iPhone cases either. But they're not making any. But yeah, there's like Nike.
They make
ones.
They do make iPhone cases in very limited cases. They make the battery case, and I think they usually come out with like one set of official cases for each new iPhone.
I mean, whoever thought of this is a genius.
Yeah.
Because it's like God, right? Of course, way to jump on the case
culture
trend. Case culture. Well said, and then make a mint.
Because we're now used to using the case to personalize.
Yep.
Like that's how we express ourselves. So why wouldn't we want to do that with our AirPod case?
Yeah, exactly. Let me get like the leather one or the one with my favorite brand on it. Maybe there's a DHL one I can get. I'm obsessed with that DHL one thing. That's fascinating.
Oh my God. Yep.
And most of them are silicone, but there are leather ones like, and they're just everywhere. And the one he got is actually really cool. And now we can tell our freaking AirPods apart.
That is actually important. Like right now, I'm the only one with the AirPods Pro, so it stopped being a problem. But for a while, Eileen and I both had AirPods, and we kept confusing them. We'd put them in and be like, why aren't these working? And then suddenly hear the other person's phone, and yeah.
Yep. And you could, I mean, at least if you have a child in the house, you can kind of tell by the relative volume of earwax. Ew, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. No,
it is, I mean, they're everywhere. And now I kind of, I mean, because I am me. Now I'm like, oh, I kind of want one of these cute furry ones. Or like, you know.
Why
like,
is remove before flight on this carepods.com site that you link to?
Why is what now?
Why is that a thing? Remove before flight. The iconic red remove before flight aviation airplane pilot leather case gift. What? It's so snappily says.
Okay.
I think it's like imitating an airline thing.
Huh. Okay. Weird.
Yeah, that's like right up there with DHL for me. Like,
there's a really cute one that has a pom-pom and also a keychain ring. So you could just always have your AirPods attached to your keys, which doesn't actually make a ton of sense, but it doesn't not make sense.
It's not making sense.
See what I did there? And then finally, that was genius. Before we move on to your feedback, because my brain does not work and because this thing has been such an all-pervasive thing, I actually thought that intuitive eating was a thing that I needed to talk about this week, even though Tom talked about it last week, because that's how big a thing it is.
I mean, and this wasn't even a thing we brought. Cashel told us on Twitter, I won the race to put it in the bullpen.
Yeah.
And then you like, it's a weird psychological thing where you like saw it being talked about so many places that it felt like, well, we can't have talked about it. Look, it's everywhere.
Right. I had four conversations with four separate friends about it this week. And I was like, God, this is a huge thing. I'm going to talk about it on It's a Thing, even though it's such a big thing that it's probably like silly to revisit it. Because it was like in BuzzFeed and everybody's already going to know. And then Tom was like, didn't I literally talk about that last week? And I was like, I was here for that. That's true. And it was a dry, it's a thing. Not in the texting way, but in the alcohol way. So I don't know what happened.
So you didn't pass out in the middle. Yeah.
But it just shows you that it is everywhere.
We got on that skyrocketing train right away, thanks to Cashel.
Just in time. Thank you, Cashel. Yes, just in time.
That's crazy. So yeah, everybody intuitive eat.
And possibly my brain doesn't work. Anyway, as you know, you are the oil that keeps this engine running. Wait, the solar that keeps the charger running. Mm-hmm.
You're the solar power panel that absorbs the radiation of appreciation that powers our podcast.
The electric car that is, it's a thing. Okay. Anyway, Jonathan writes in on the topic of Carhartt and says, I'm not rugged enough to wear Carhartt here and don't really hang out with those who do. Oh, Jonathan, apparently everyone is, as evidenced by your email. But I've been noticing a lot more Carhartt logos on the cool types when I'm out and about, especially the knit caps with the logo at the front. Definitely. And goes right along with the Timberlands thing.
Yep, it really
like
does.
I think that the whole like rugged look is totally back. Jonathan says, it stood out to me when I was watching highlights of the various women's marches around the country and saw lots of Carhartt caps. And then says, I was thinking of writing you. And then today, our uber cool millennial mail carrier came into our office wearing a Carhartt knit cap. I asked him about the hipness of it, and he said it's especially warm, which is much needed here in Pittsburgh. But he added, a friend of mine just got one, and he's never outside. I don't know how much he paid for it, but he said it had to be Carhartt.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Good spot. Good thing spotting. Because I agree. I've been seeing it, too. And I think it's just generally like there's a whole ruggedy thing going on.
Did I mention that my brother's husband wanted Carhartt for Christmas?
No.
When we talked? Yeah. And at the time, they're Bears. So I was like, oh, yeah, Carhartt,
right?
So you were like, just like, sure, yeah, makes sense, right? Didn't even think about it. So now I'm like questioning, like, was it just like, yeah, I love Carhartt? Or was it like, ooh, Carhartt's like hot now?
I think it's hot now. Hold on,
I don't know. Looking. It could have been a little of both. That's interesting. Yep. Yeah.
That is fascinating. And I wonder why this sort of like ruggedy thing is coming back.
Yeah.
Is fascinating.
It, yeah. What makes the outdoorsy? I mean, because the 70s were kind of outdoorsy. Not so much ruggedy, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh. I don't know.
Well, let's find out what Ungoy Pinoy from the Discord says. In regards to the DHL swag taking off, season 6, episode 3, the working theory of being global and jet set is very plausible. The world of fashion is a cycle of reverence and irreverence and loves to mix highbrow and lowbrow. The 2016 spring-summer collection from Contra fashion label Vêtements, shocked the runway by sending down a dude sporting Doc Martens, leatherette trousers, and an open black button-up shirt, exposing a yellow t-shirt with a DHL logo printed in the center.
Oh my God.
Despite costing 250 euros at the time, the t-shirt was a big hit amongst fashionable people and those who style influencers. This anti-fashion stunt was so successful, countless knockoff t-shirts and an upstart parody label named Vont Memes were created. Fast forward to the 2018 spring and summer Vêtements collection, wherein 8 new DHL branded items were added. Now I can't say who is manufacturing or designing the current swag, but DHL is riding this meta wave of fashion thingness. Oh my gosh, thank
you.
Oh
my God, that is incredible. That was like a whole episode. That was
brilliant, Ungoy Pinoy. You're the best.
You're the best. And that is amazing and delightful. Cash Nexus writes in and says, your discussion about refillable bulk products and co-ops reminded me of two particular things from my childhood. Growing up in Southern California in the 70s, the families in my neighborhood had a co-op, which was run out of my parents' garage. And every weekend after the neighborhood orders had been collected, my dad and one other parent would drive out to the Los Angeles food market and buy food in bulk, usually from the farmers themselves, and bring it back to be distributed by the neighborhood. Reusable containers, no waste except for the dirty exhaust from the 63 VW bus and a sense of community at work. Amazing. And then he says the other thing was the pop shop. Shoppy, an idea ahead of its time. You bring in your old pop shop bottles, conveniently packed into red pop shop crates, and refill them right in the warehouse. Actually, I think you exchange them for the same number of wash ones, but the concept is the same. Glorious and wasteless. And he says, are these sustainable things coming around again, maybe with different delivery systems? Robot milkmen? I hope so.
Yeah. Because the thing about your 70s example that I'm like, no one would do that now is going to a garage and making an order and having to wait for it.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, maybe people who really want to do sustainable living would, but yeah, probably. That's probably.
But yeah, but if suddenly it was like, oh, what we can now do is go to this site and order the refillable to be delivered to my thing on my porch at a time that I like, you know, you build in that convenience, which is now totally possible.
Yeah. No, I really, this should come back. We should definitely try to start this. Like, I think bulk pickup or bulk delivery for refillable containers, like there's no reason that.
I'm going to call it right now that this, we just didn't search hard enough. It exists. There's some startup out there pitching this already. It has to be.
If not, it's going to be me.
I know, right? And not, I want in on your investment.
We said it on the podcast, so we basically co-copyrighted it.
Prior art!
Yep.
Joe is finding things while car shopping. He says, hey, hello, thing makers. I've been shopping for a new car, and I've noticed that touchscreens in cars are definitely a thing. More than that, touchscreens that look like someone super glued a tablet onto the dashboard are a thing. I think it started with Tesla, but it's spread to F-150s, Toyota Corollas, Audis, and Lincoln SUVs and more. It's definitely a thing, but one I hadn't noticed before shopping and one I hope goes away because it's ugly and less useful. True. Unrelated to that, from last week's mention of it, I wonder what the over-under on things we discover because of Gibson's new book is. He's usually on the early parts of waves of thingness in his non-cyberpunk books. I'm excited to find out and report back. I also want to call out Molly's casual flex about mentioning having read the book when it hadn't come out yet. Grumble, grumble, journalists and their pre-release copy so they could do amazing interviews. Grumble.
I'm so sorry. I really did. I thought of that later and I was like, oh, that was a dick move.
Yeah. No, but
rude.
Joe even acknowledges that it's necessary for you to do the great interview for that to happen. So he's just jealous.
Thanks, man. I hope you guys heard my interview, by the way, because, oh my God, I love him. We're such homies.
That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah. Actually, that does make me want to go and read it all over again, because I'm sure there were like five other things in there. I mean, there were tons of things in there that
are
about to, but it is true. It's just like the Muji bag or like Casey's bomber jacket in pattern recognition. Like, so it's true. Weirdly, he's got the eye.
And this, the drive, going back to the car thing, this, the drive.com article, really does have some good illustrations. Like the Aston Martin, of all things, a beautiful car.
Why?
Really does look like it's just a tablet stuck on the dashboard. Looks like an old Samsung tablet
Oh God, you're right. And they all just stick up. Like they're not ever sort of well integrated.
The Audi one's the same way. It's just kind of stuck there.
I know. I mean, the one in the Ford Transit Connect looks like you literally stuck it into a pile of silly putty on the top of the dash to like hold it there. Yeah, you're right. It is a huge.
The Q5 is stuck there. The A6 actually looks sweet because it's built into a glass dashboard, so it totally is integrated. But then you have to pay for an A6. So,
Audi is generally good at that. Although I will say the one in the Q5 is just a blob stuck on there. Yeah, those need to go away. Nobody wants a screen in their car. You already have a screen in your car, whether you should be looking at it or not. What they should do is create an awesome phone holder in cars.
Yes, something that's like super integrated, easy to use, doesn't fall out of your air vent.
could have power. I mean, like BMW had one for a long time that you could get as an add-on, which is so freaking BMW. Like, you can pay us another $350 to be able to plug your iPhone in, but it was in the armrest.
No, that's what I want. I want a dock where I just stick that in, and then the heads-up display can show me things from my own phone.
Yes, exactly. Like, that should be the next iteration of CarPlay.
Yeah.
Oh, what a good idea.
Well, you know what else is a good idea?
Mm-hmm.
Supporting the show.
That's right.
Patreon.com/it's a thing. Shout out to Jake Woods and the Double Jinx Mystery.
Louis St. Amour and the Sign of the Twisted Candles.
Mike Akins and the Scarlet Slipper of Mystery.
Gabrielle Cohen and the Mystery at the Moss-Covered Mansion.
Our producer made our shout-outs Nancy Drew themed. Thank you for that. That was amazing.
He just leaves us little presents, even when he's not here to produce the show.
He's here.
Oh, I want to read some Nancy Drew. Yes, thank you to everybody who supports us at the shout-out level. That is incredible. And to everybody who supports us at all, it is the reason we're here every week, and we're just so grateful, because being here every week is the best part of the week.
Yes, it is. Email us your things. Keep them coming. It's good stuff. Feedback@itsathing.me.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.